The B-52s come to Tanglewood on Friday, the 2nd of September at 8 o'clock, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Kate Pearson of the B-52s back to the roundtable this morning. Kate, thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you back on the program.
Thank you. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing fine. Very nice to speak to you. How many dates has the B-52s been doing over the summer? Have you been out a lot?
We have a touring schedule this summer. Pretty much every other weekend we go out and do three shows, and so that allows us time to be home and not be on the bus all summer with, you know, just touring endlessly. We've done that for 40 years. Well, this coming February 14th, Valentine's Day, will be our 40th year anniversary, and we'll actually be in New Zealand. So it'll, you know, we'll have to have an American celebration later. But we try to make it easy on ourselves. This last couple of years, we've been doing this every other weekend, and it's really worked out well because, you know, we get to be home part of the summer. I get to pick the tomatoes and have our garden and still, you know, be out on the road and do shows.
Do you talk as a group about longevity, of what it is that you feel has happened amongst you that has allowed this group to be around for 40 years?
Well, first of all, we're not workaholics, so we haven't, you know, we've taken a lot of breaks, and we know each other really well, and it sort of functions like this dysfunctional family together. We make each other laugh still, and we, you know, even when we're in the van or we hang out in shows after, we hang out, you know, backstage after shows, we still make each other laugh, and we share a lot of sense of humor. So I think it's just you know, just knowing each other so well. And also there's a camaraderie, and we write together. We split everything equally. We split all our money equally, and all our, we write together. So, you know, it's a unit.
When you first came together, was there a goal? Was there an idea? Was there a sensibility that you all had of what you wanted the group to be?
Well, we sort of were, you know, I say sometimes we started by spontaneous combustion because there was no plan. Nobody ever said, like, hey, Kate, you play keyboards and you, you know, play guitar. It was just happened one night when we started jamming after having a flaming volcano at Hunan's Chinese restaurant in Athens, Georgia, and there were six straws, and we went to our friend Owen Scott's house, and he had the sixth straw, but he went upstairs and wrote a paper. He's a clinical psychologist now, and the rest of us formed the band. So we were down in his basement jamming, and he had some instruments laying around because he's still a musician, and we started playing this song called Killer Bees, and we never recorded it. We never finished that song, but that was the first song, and Keith Strickland came up with the idea of naming the band the B-52s for the hairdo that kind of we wore to crash parties when we were in Athens, and so our look came out of just what we would wear, get from the thrift store, and what we'd wear to parties.
And
it was also influenced by Fellini.
But there was always a fun nature to it, right? I mean, it was always an idea of a party and a fun time to be had.
Yeah, when we started in Athens, Georgia, there wasn't a music scene there. And now there's a tremendous music scene there, but there wasn't anything happening. So we had to make our own fun, and we loved to dance, and we would go over to our friend John Taylor's, he'd be making cornbread, and we'd dance around the table. You know, we'd dance at the drop of a hat. So we wanted to write dance music and to play dance music, so we termed ourselves the Tacky Little Dance Band from Athens, Georgia. And, you know, we wore our wigs and our teased hair and our thrift store outfits. But I think, you know, we had something very unique because we kind of started in a way in a vacuum. I mean, we were aware of what was happening in New York City with Talking Heads and the Sex Pistols and Patti Smith and Blondie. But we were really kind of just doing our thing. And you know, sometimes I think we were like a five-headed monster that we all put our heads together and all jammed and came up with this crazy music that we didn't know if anyone else would like. And we played this house party on Valentine's Day, 1977, and our friends' dance almost shook the house down. So we knew we had something special.
And there was never, you had always decided that it was going to be kind of a round robin when it came to what you would refer to as a lead singer, if you will.
Yeah, there's really no lead singer. I mean, Fred sort of holds down this narrative, and Cindy and I do the harmonies, and a lot of songs we switch, you know, we just switch off parts, and, you know, sometimes Fred has this narrative, and Cindy and I do, you know, circles around it with harmonies and choruses. So it's very equal, and after our main guitar player and founder and writer, you know, we all wrote together, but Ricky Wilson really was, in a way, the leader of the band when we started. And when he passed away in 1985, you know, we just all picked ourselves up and realized after a long break and feeling that maybe we couldn't continue, we just started feeling like this would be a healing process and also kind of a way to conjure Ricky's spirit back. You know, it was just sort of a subconscious thing, but I think we all felt like Ricky was there, and we wrote Cosmic Thing, which is a bigger hit than anything we'd ever done before. So it was great to have that kind of resurgence and renewal, also having that kind of spirit of Ricky being in there, you know, because the songs were very, very referential to that time when we started in Athens, and we had no, you know, concept of what we're doing.
Rock Lobster was the first hit. How do you look back on that song now?
I remember when we wrote that, and we were in this little house that Keith and Ricky had rented, and I remember us fooling around with the fish sounds, and Fred had written the lyrics, but he was at this 2001 disco when he saw these crustaceans and different fish flashed on the walls as sort of a cheap decor, and so he got this idea, Rock Lobster, and Ricky Wilson wrote the guitar part, Keith Strickland came in, walked in the room, and Ricky was playing the guitar, and he said, I've written the dumbest guitar line you've ever heard, and it was don 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 da 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 da, which is just iconic guitar riff. So it all came together. We were working on it, and Cindy and I added the fish sounds at the end, and so that was, and we added some harmonies, and the song came together.
We were at a party. Earlobe fell in the deep. Someone reached in and grabbed it. What a rock lobster! Rock lobster! Rock lobster!
And from this day, it's like our closing song, and everyone just goes nuts when we play that song.
And, of course, the other song that is just so identified with you as a group is Love Shack, which came several years later, 4 or 5 years later, after Rock Lobster and after the changes in the band. But it really, the two are almost bookends, aren't they?
Well, it's actually 10 years later because we started, well, we wrote Rock Lobster probably in 77.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes.
And then, you know, it was 89 when we put out Cosmic Thing, and Love Shack, yeah, is another kind of party anthem, really.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the Love Shack, yeah, yeah. I'm heading down the Atlanta Highway, looking for the
I guess it is bookends in a way because they're both songs that really people just bust out and let their freak flag fly, and you know, you don't know what's going to happen. In fact, Rock Lobster, for some reason, when we played in Europe, specifically in Germany, people would form a mosh pit on Rock Lobster, just that one song. And that's kind of unexplainable, but basically people would really kind of let loose. It just something, you know, would free them about those songs. You know, something would happen to people. I don't know what it is, but some kind of fantastic magic happens because people just bust out during those songs.
When you think about going out, and is it different? I mean, this particular gig isn't far from your home. Is that fun? Is that nice to do?
Oh, it's great to be able to drive there. Yeah, yeah. My wife Monica and I will be just driving to Tanglewood, and I've been there before, and it's such a beautiful venue. And this will be our fourth orchestral gig. So it's very exciting to be, I mean, Tanglewood is just so prestigious and so amazing to be able to play with the Boston Pops. It's just like a dream come true. It's just something that was another thing I guess we never dreamed would happen, besides being together for 40 years.
So it'll be a little bit different than a regular B-52s concert, obviously.
Yes. I mean, we've played, the first orchestral concert was at the Hollywood Bowl season finale with the Psychedelic Furs, and David Campbell, who's also Beck's father, who's a fantastic, he's an arranger and a composer and conductor, and he orchestrated three songs. It was Planet Claire, Rock Lobster, and Love Shack. So it was a season finale, and they had fireworks coordinated with Love Shack, and it was just fantastic. Although we couldn't see them, we did see a little video of it later, and apparently it was just mind-blowing. So, for fireworks fanatics like me. So, that was the first thing. And then we asked David Campbell. It was so great. We said, can you do six more? So we hired him to do six more songs. So then we had a whole set of nine songs to do. So we played with the Nashville Symphony, and then we played in Park City, Utah with the Utah Symphony, and now Tanglewood. But the Utah Symphony had a set list that was, it's kind of hard to juggle. We had to open with an orchestrated song and finish with one, and then there were two sets with a break in between. So now I'm working on the next set list for Tanglewood, which will just be all straight through songs with the orchestra, and then we'll come back with a few songs that, you know, we haven't orchestrated.
Well, it's so. Boston Pops. That's a lot going on, but it sounds fun. Boston Pops and the B-52s on Friday night at 8 o'clock. September 2nd, you can find out more by going to tanglewood.org, tanglewood.org, the B-52s with Keith Lockhart conducting the Boston Pops at Tanglewood. Kate Pearson, it's always a lovely treat to have you on the program. I thank you very much for being with us and look forward to hearing you at Tanglewood on Friday night.
Well, thank you. I listen to your show all the time. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Kate. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.